Specifically, he is asking for a combat aviation unit, which consists of helicopters and gunships, and between 2,500 and 3,000 soldiers. President Bush met with the panel today, which will look into the problems at U.S. military health facilities. The bipartisan committee is headed by former Republican Senator Bob Dole and former Clinton Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalala. The CIA operative who was at the heart of the leak scandal appeared before a House committee today. Valerie Plame said that top White House and State Department officials blew her cover to discredit her diplomat husband. She accused them of doing that carelessly and recklessly. In Washington, the fired eight U.S. attorneys controversy continues as the White House is now backing away from earlier comments by White House spokesman Tony Snow that then White House counsel Harriet Myers first brought up the idea of firing them. Emails which became public yesterday evening reveal that White House political advisor Karl Rove played a role in the discussions. An FBI cautionary bulletin to police across the U.S. warns that members of extremist groups have signed up to be school bus drivers. An FBI spokesman said there is no reason for concern and parents and children have nothing to fear. Iran's president has requested a visa so that he can visit the United Nations. The U.S. State Department has approved the request. Members of the Security Council are deciding on additional sanctions against Iran for its failure to halt its nuclear program. In Gaza today, a U.N. convoy with the head of the U.N. Relief and Works Agency came under fire. Palestinian security officials say that three gunmen struck the U.N. vehicle 11 times. There were no injuries reported. In Rio de Janeiro, over the past 8 days, 12 police officers have been killed. There will be an investigation into the killings, which are part of a recent crime surge in the Brazilian city. Russian President Vladimir Putin has ordered all media, including the Internet, to be regulated by a new super agency that will control licensing as well as content. Critics say the clampdown is a step backward for Russia's free press movement. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have four convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our four branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank. SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The latest winter storm on the East Coast has forced JetBlue to cancel 215 flights. The airline wants to avoid the criticism that occurred last month when passengers were stranded on planes at the runways of JFK Airport for up to 10 hours during a storm. A large fire on a railroad trestle in Sacramento last night has disrupted passenger and freight traffic along the main Northern California east-west route for Amtrak and Union Pacific. A new study finds that playing certain video games, such as those that involve firing guns, can improve the user's eyesight. A federal judge ruled today that the U.S. tobacco companies cannot market light or low-tar cigarettes abroad as being less harmful to a smoker's health. The companies are already banned from making those claims in the U.S. Walmart has abruptly decided to drop its plan to apply for a banking charter. The FDIC said the decision was a, quote, wise choice. The health club chain Bally Total Fitness may file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Today on that news, shares of the company fell more than 50%. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $57.11 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow Jones is down 41 points at 12,118, the Nasdaq down 7, and the S&P 500 down 5. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, Right across the board.
Oh.
11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. Now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, it's Friday, and I'm actually live. Oh, my word. It's been just an insane week, folks. I'm so sorry there's been all this replay stuff this week. It's been kind of unavoidable. As you all know, here at The Horn, we all, you know, have to maintain day jobs until we, you know, kind of really, really get this network properly funded, and my day job has just eaten me over the last few days, and it's made doing live shows just utterly impossible. But, oh boy, I'm so close to wrapping up things with this particular little project, and I can't wait till it's over. But anyway, I can't even tell you how glad I am to be on today. It's, you know, it's a looking like it's a nice weekend here down in Sydney. Looking like blue sky and everything out there. It's looking, you know, it's looking really good. Yeah, yeah. As my producer just said in our production chat, day job, we never sleep. And it does get like that sometimes, I got to tell you. And for someone that, you know, the most heavy chemical one does is probably coffee. it can get to be a little bit rough. But anyway, we got a lot of stuff, and Gene sent me this really, really great piece from the New York Times, and this just so rings with me because, well, it deals with my former industry, and I'm a musician, I'm an engineer, and I spent, you know, 20 years either playing in bands or producing shows or, you know, whatever. And I always used, personally, I used to, especially more over the last couple of years, you know, used to be in, you know, driving the truck all over the country. And I used to just sit there and think, you know, I talk about, you know, we got to try and do better for this planet. But yet the very industry I work in is just so damaging. And I know it's been a hard thing for a lot of musicians to try and grapple with, because it's not the music that does the damage, and a lot of times the music has a good message, but, you know, one stadium show can create, you know, 1,000 tons of carbon, and that's not even including the transportation of people getting to the gig. And there's this great piece in the New York Times called "Have Guitar, Will Recycle." And This is really, really cool. I'm just going to kind of read some of the bits here. It says, it opens up saying, the typical high E string on an electric guitar is stainless steel filament, 32 inches long and a hundredth of an inch thick. It weighs perhaps as much as a few paper clips. Not a lot of raw material, but enough for the bare naked ladies to concern themselves with on their recent North American tour, which concluded last month. Working with a Maine-based environmental organization called Reverb, which also helps to green the tours of artists like Alanis Morissette, Sheryl Crow, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Bare Naked Ladies invited greening coordinators to gather up broken and used strings from the stage after gigs to be recycled by a New Hampshire company into jewelry. And that was hardly the only green gesture on the Quirky Canadian Quintet's tour. The band ate locally grown organic food off plates and forks made of biodegradable potato starch. Its members drank from reusable canteens instead of plastic bottles. They traveled in a four-bus caravan fueled with biodiesel, and a portion of proceeds from shows along with donations were used to purchase renewable energy credits to offset electricity consumed by the tour, down to the amps and spotlights. The band also played a slideshow on global warming as a sort of an opening act before each gig, which was fine for the planet, the singer Stephen Page conceded, but at times it distracted the crowd from its primary mission, namely to rock. Sometimes, Mr. Page said, it could take a few songs to remind them that they're there to have a good time. Like few other enterprises short of a military invasion, the rock tour is designed to convert copious amounts of material and energy into spectacle, and produces equivalent amounts of waste, but in the inconvenient truth era, when even the oil and automobile industries are painting themselves green, it should come as little surprise that rock, never shy about making grand self-congratulatory gestures, is working hard to catch up. And I think that this is a really tough one. And my former industry has a lot of catching up to do. And not only has catching up to do, but with things like this, needs to lead the way, really, because there's nothing like a rock show to get a message across, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I think it should be going hand in hand. And you know, I spoke about the Big Day Out, which is the big annual festival here in Australia, went, you know, fully carbon neutral, and the merits of this carbon offset stuff is still debatable, but at least the money invested in the planting of trees and all these things are doing something with some, you know, thought towards the future. You know, we might not see the results of it for, you know, possibly 100 years, but it's at least a step in the right direction. It says lately, Bonnie Raitt, whose philanthropic foundation works with Reverb, said the goal is not only to make tours eco-friendly, but also to connect fans to the environmental movement. A change is coming, Ms. Raitt said in an email message. Green power is the way out of the mess. The fact momentum for greener rock tours has been building. Artists like Ms. Raitt, Dave Matthews, and Willie Nelson have been vocal about their decision to travel on buses fueled by biodiesel, made of vegetable oils and producing less carbon dioxide. Bands like Coldplay have made news with plans to offset the energy consumed by their tours and CD manufacturing with tree planting in third world countries. But the green rock tour as a concept is now moving into a second act, and that is where Reverb comes in. The organization based in Portland, Maine, was founded in 2004 by Adam Gardner, a guitarist for the indie rock band Guster, and his wife Lauren Sullivan, who worked for the Rainforest Action Network. Reverb charges acts a fee for its consulting services and is also sponsored by green companies and other fundraisers. A prominent for-profit organization in the field is Music Matters, a marketing company in Minneapolis. It works with environment-minded clients, produces events, and consults with artists like Dave Matthews and Jack Johnson on a wide range of green touring practices down to the use of non-petroleum-based cosmetics on stage. This is all really, really cool stuff. And, you know, this is something that really needs to happen. You know, and I used to work in doing a lot of big production theater, and I used to just sit there and think, you know, this is all great and all, but look at the waste we create. You know, you might do a production of a show for, you know, 3 to 6 months. But when it's over, all the set material, all that stuff ends up either going into landfill or going into storage in lieu of that. Maybe, you know, you might revamp the show. And, you know, so, I mean, there's some really difficult choices that need to be made by the entertainment industry. And, I mean, I can, you know, go and talk about everybody else's bit of business, but, you know, the industry that has supported my life for so long, you know, I'd be a complete hypocrite if I didn't turn the spotlight on my own. So anyway, we're going to take our first break here on Foxed Up, here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, dial into 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And when we come back, I'll cover a couple of the other points from this piece, and then we'll go on to today's track of the day. And yes, that's one of the studio cats talking to you there. So stick around, and we'll be right back right after this. You run to paradise.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Tuh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And that was a little bit of the Verve there. I believe that was Bittersweet Symphony. I think Agnes discovered that last night. What a very, very cool band. And that was a massive song down here in Australia. I think it was a couple years ago that came out. And just really, really, you know, to use an old adage, you know, took the country by storm. And a very, very talented band, and beautiful, beautiful arrangement in that song, I gotta say. Anyway, folks, we're gonna go straight to the phones, because Gene, our news ninja, hi-ya, is on the line, who sent us this rock and roll story. How you going, Gene?
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
I'm doing really good, man. I'm so glad to be on air, I can't even tell you. And this piece that you sent me is just really, it's strikes such a chord with me, because, you know, I mean, this is my old business.
I thought it would. I gotta be honest, though, I didn't really get a chance to read it. I was just like, oh, I gotta go to class. Oh, wait a minute, there's this. Go.
No, it's really good, and they talk about the, you know, the fact that even though, you know, you have bands getting into the carbon offset thing, that, yeah, you know, the jury's still out on exactly how effective it is, but, you know, even symbolic gestures are important, you know, at this juncture in time.
Yeah, I gotta say, the carbon offset thing throws a lot of people, myself included, and there was some discussion about that last night in the green class I've been going to, mm-hmm. Over, you know, because we're just not getting that idea. I mean, basically, we get to buy the credits that other people save up because they're not polluters, but we still are. That's how that works?
Yeah. Well, there's that, but there's also the idea that, okay, we may not have found ways to do our business in a green fashion yet, where we're, you know, making less of a mess.
Uh-huh.
But I think part of the idea, though, is where, you know, okay, you know, we're going to be using this many flights, we figure out what the carbon imprint is, and then pay to plant trees or, you know, donate compact fluorescence to an entire community, which are some of the things that have been done. So it's like, okay, we're making a mess here, but we're going to try and offset that mess over here by helping these people make less of a mess. Now, in that context, I think it's a positive thing. Where it worries me is where big polluters will just pay big money from their big profits to allow them to continue to make a mess and not try and clean up their act.
Oh, definitely, yeah, that would be a problem, because I, you know, it's like the old thing, I mean, companies would rather pay a fine for breaking the law than actually having to clean up a mess. That's kind of a, I can see something right for abuse there. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was actually going to ask you, tell us about this green class of yours, because I am going to be making contact with one of the people involved with that, and I'm hoping to get them on air at some point, maybe next week. But tell us about this green class, because I'm really interested in this.
Okay, well, the green class is sponsored by Northwest Earth Institute, and they're a local group here in town, and they work with businesses and individuals to kind of make them be more green. And what the class that I'm in right now, it's through the church that I go to, what we're doing is we're getting together and we're trying to figure out on an individual level just exactly what we can do to kind of green up where we live and do things on a local level. It's been very interesting. This is my second class so far. The course is about 4 weeks long. And we're going to do a special fifth week that we kind of added for ourselves, just kind of a post goodbye, and we'll miss you and we'll stick together. but week one was really the very emotional week. Nobody left the class dry-eyed, because it was... We actually tried to confront global warming. There's several different articles. The one that got to me was the Katrina article. In fact, it was so moving I couldn't finish it, because it was like, I realized, you know, being the news ninja and all, you read about all kinds of things about the Bush administration and and how they don't really care. But when you actually get down to reading the stories of the people, it's like the casual indifference to suffering. Oh, that just irks me. So,
I'm with you there. I have those moments too. You know, especially doing research for doing the show, and you know, it can sometimes really really seem so overwhelming that you just want to throw your hands up and you know say, you know, really, does it, you know, can I make any difference? But I think that, you know, part of this kind of sea of change that we're going through at the moment is the fact that people are realizing that it's their personal choices that will make the real difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of connected to this article that you sent me is the fact that there was a television program on Murdoch's channel of all things called The Carbon Test, and they had, you know, various celebrities and had them followed around by climate change scientists for a day of their life. You know, there's mm-hmm. a footy player, there was a New Zealand rock band, there was a model, and there was an actress singer, and the whole idea was for them to get an idea of what their you know carbon imprint is, you know, and it was a real eye opener for most of them. And the boys from this New Zealand band, just, you know, they were doing really well until they had to fly.
Uh-huh.
And that was the big, there were two big eye openers in the process. It was the flights, and it was also where your food comes from. And this is one of the big ones that people, you know, are starting to catch on to, that you really, if you really want to make some change yourself, is to get things as, you know, get as much of your produce from local producers,
mm-hmm.
and not buying from the huge grocery store chains who bring, you know, your lettuce from Indonesia to the United States, these kind of things. I mean, it's just kind of insanity, and it's our food production system that really has a massive impact on the overall carbon footprint.
That's what we talked about that last night in class too, is the fact that basically, as much as we get on oil about, you know, carbon emissions in cars, there's more carbon being generated through what they call big meat in this one article I read. And see, that's the one thing that I've got to do next. Is I've done the green power, and I'm public transit 100% of the time, but now I've got to become a vegetarian. Or at least some kind of local meat, local sustainable meat product.
It's a really hard one, you know, and I battle with this one, and you know, Gail and I have worked it down to the fact that, you know, there may be one beef meal a week, because unfortunately cattle production is one of the huge ones. There's really no pork in our diet, and you know, most of what we do is chicken, and at least the butcher that we go to, who has an amazing amount of organic meats and whatnot, just as part of their regular stock. But I've spoken with the guys at this butcher shop, and they reckon that 95% of their stock comes from within the state, and I think that is a huge thing.
Cool,
you know. You know, and it's not something, and again, they don't, you know, go advertising this or anything like that. You know, they just do this as a matter of practice, and not only that, I got to say the quality of their stuff is just outrageous. I mean, you know, every once in a while I splurge out and get a couple of New York cut steaks from this place, and I'm telling you, it's like I feel like I'm in one of those old Texas grill places where it's like, see if you can beat the 1 pound steak kind of thing.
Oh my!
But you know, this is, again, it's this all encompassing thing. You know, this mm-hmm. is why Gail and I have done, and I continue to mention this all the time, you know, our no power washing machine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're gonna end up calculating out by the end of the year how much water, electricity, we have saved and not burned just by the weekly thing that, you know, we do in just having to keep our clothes clean.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and Susan in the chat room there is mentioning also the fact that, you know, fruits, you know, get over, you know, we got to start getting back to seasonal fruits, you know, seasonal stuff. You know, if it's not available locally at a certain time of year, get over it. You don't get to have it. And if you get it, you better be prepared to pay out the wazoo for it.
Oh, yeah. That was, like I said, that was a lot of things they talked about in class. I was glad to see that everybody seemed to think a carbon tax was a great idea. And next week, we're actually going to start, because last night we talked about the causes. The week before was the confrontation, but now it's the causes. Man, I suppose I got to let you go, because I know you got to, I know you've got a break coming up, but God.
But go ahead, real quick, finish up.
Anyway, so it's a really great class, and I one of these days I'm going to talk to you about actually trying to get the green thing going, from arguing the green perspective from a non-green perspective to get the dollars going. But we'll talk about that later.
All right, man. Gene, thank you so much for ringing in. Always love to talk to you, and you be good to yourself, and just keep on that, and I will be in touch with those folks from the class. I think we really need to have a chat with them, because it sounds like really good stuff.
Oh,
thanks,
yeah,
so much, man.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Okay.
All right, folks, we're going to head out to this break. We're running a little late, so we'll be right back here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be back with our track of the day.
You stay silent, knowing always in time. See how this love stays divine. See how this love stays divine.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here for the wrap-up of the weekend, and great call with Gene. I love Gene. He's just too cool for school, and just the I really, really have to, once my life kind of calms down a little bit and I can put a little bit more thought into doing this show as opposed to getting a few stories together and getting on and doing the thing, I really, really want to get people involved with this class on the show, because this is, you know, the local aspect is so unbelievably important. So just to finish up on this little, you know, green rock and roll thing, they go on to say, Michael Martin, the president of Music Matters, which has been working on the issue for years, being the environmental and greening up rock tours issue, said that as recently as the late 90s, the concept of carbon offsets was generally unknown, and biodiesel was as hard to find as moonshine. So greening a tour meant making even smaller gestures, like inflating bus tires to specifications to achieve maximum fuel efficiency. But now, for example, reverb-coordinated tours feature eco-villages, interactive informational tents intended to teach fans about ecological issues. And for most tours, Ms. Sullivan said, the organization deputizes volunteers to haul home bags of trash from backstage and sort out recyclables on their own time. Hey, I went to a rock concert and came back with a bag of garbage. Great, she said. On most reverb-advised tours, the performers funnel a percentage of ticket sales or paid directly to purchase renewable energy credits from a Vermont-based company called Native Energy. Although for construction of wind, solar, and biomass electricity generators to offset the amount of carbon produced each year. And to be sure, rock tours produced tremendous amounts of waste, from 500 to 1,000 tons of carbon dioxide from a single stadium show, not including fan transportation. But perhaps the greatest challenge will be to spread the green message beyond those likely to turn up on the donor rolls of the Sierra Club, say to heavy metal bands with their columns of fire spewing on stage, or hip-hop bands for whom moneyed hyper-consumption is a theology as much as a song topic. Mr. Gardner, who was having a green guitar made for him by a Boston luthier from sustainably harvested non-toxic stains and finishes and reclaimed hardware, admitted as much, recounting a conversation about alternative fuels with Will.i.am from Black Eyed Peas backstage at a Randall's Island show. He said, huh, biodiesel, that's cool, Mr. Gardner recalled. Is that something I can run in my Hummer? whoops. But then he says, but that was 2005. Will.i.am's publicist said he is now driving a Tesla electric sports car. So, you know, and there was a great story that Gene sent to me a week or so ago about one of these rappers who was having his special curry flown to wherever he was from England, and they worked out the carbon footprint of his dinner on the road every day, and it was just absolutely insane to the point of being disgusting. And, you know, I kind of hope that, you know, pressure will come that, you know, yeah, it's all, you know, very, very, you know, hip and everything to go, oh, I have so much money, I bring my favorite chef along and fly him, you know, to Dubai while I'm doing the gig. I mean, it's just insane. You know, you're telling me that you can't, you know, end up making some sort of request that, you know, at the local venue you find somebody that can make you a bloody chicken madras? I mean, come on. That's just insane. All right.
righty then. Let's move on to the track of the day. And I picked this because, well, I was very short on time this morning, and I wasn't sure where to go. And, you know, the drive of music over here can sometimes be overwhelming. But I just figured that this is just one of those great songs. And how, you know, some 30 years later, if not more, it's as poignant today, if not more so, than it was when it was written. Now, Gil Scott-Heron was just a master of the statement and song. And not only that, just some very, very groovy, groovy R&B music. Just fantastic. Oh, right, it's one of Wayne's favorites. Excellent. I got an email, too, from a listener who... this was from the show the other day when I was reading the statements from Patti Smith about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and someone who I think he knew Gil Scott-Heron back in the day, and so that kind of I think what may have prompted me to go here. So without any further ado, just listen to these lyrics. They're just fantastic. And if you've never heard this song before, go, whether it's iTunes, whatever, buy it and stick it in your iPod. You need this. You need this song. So without further ado, Gil Scott-Heron, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Roll it, Agnes.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and it's coming up on 47 minutes after the hour or something like that. I went and found this email, and I got this the other day from Johnny mailed in and said, as a long fan and acquaintance of Gil Scott-Heron, a former band leader, I guess, of his, was a good mate, and this band leader was with Gil during his the Last Poet days, and they went to college together. And he said once they stayed the weekend with Gil when he was playing in the at the Village Door in D.C. in the mid-70s, and it was very memorable. And he mentions Music and Politics, which is the closing track of this show, and he was so glad to hear the song, and he's asking if it's on an album, and yes, it is on an album. It's the and I'll email this to you, John. It's on the Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy album, and just really, really great track, and it sums up, I think, myself very, very well. And I think what he's telling me here, which I probably knew and forgot, is that that track is actually a Gil Scott-Heron track being covered, and I will verify that, but I think that that's what he's trying to tell me. So, John, it's a great track, and how cool to have spent some time with Mr. Gil Scott-Heron. But anyway, and the revolution will not go better with Coke. It's one of my favorite lines in that song. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Going back to kind of what Gene and I were talking about on the phone before, about that, you know, a lot of the transportation carbon problem is how much energy is used to, one, produce the food we eat, and two, to get it to the stores. So, you know, again, reminding everyone that for every calorie of food you intake, the average is 10 calories of fossil fuel were burned to produce it. So, you know, in our production chat, Susan's been saying that she's going to teach Gene how to can this year. And this is, I think, probably one of the simplest things that we can do to improve our own carbon footprint is to, you know, during the summer months, you know, for those of you that live in places where there are four seasons, you know, plant a garden, a vegetable garden. You know, not only are you able to walk straight outside and, you know, get, you know, fresh peppers and tomatoes straight off the vine, you know, to make your salads and, you know, your stir fries and all that, you won't be using industrial farming methods for all this stuff. And you won't be having to put it into trucks to get it to the shops. So, you know, I reckon, you know, in war times past, they used to call them victory gardens. Maybe we should call them inconvenient truth gardens. you know, it's, I think that these are all the really, really simple things, and that, you know, we get so much convenience out of being able to drive down to the local supermarket and getting everything that we could ever want, but is that convenience really valid? You know, and maybe, you know, there's part of me, you know, the really, really radical side of me, well, some people will call it radical side of me, really has this thought that we need to go back in some way, shape, or form back to, you know, a bit more of a hunter-gatherer lifestyle. And I'm not saying that we have to go live in tents and go hunting, you know, hunting wild boar for food. But, you know, planting your own garden, you know, and relying more on things that are seasonal, you know, enjoy things when they're at their peak. I think it's very, very simple. And Sue has just put into the chat a really, really great idea, and I think that this is a killer idea. And she says we should have listeners submit photos of their gardens and have people vote on them. So I think that's a fantastic idea, Sue. I totally love it. And we'll have a little bit of a chat with the bloggers and see what we can do to set up a system so that folks can actually take pictures of what it is that they're growing. You know, Susan, another Susan, as in Trouble, our blogger, you know, she cans stuff so that she has seasonal things later in the year, you know. And not only is it, you know, environmentally a good thing, it's going to be good for your overall health, you know. You're going to be getting stuff that you know doesn't have pesticides, and you can, you know, and if you end up with, you know, mites and things there, you know, you can look up on the internet. My partner Gail just made a solution in a spray bottle that uses actually tobacco and some other things as a deterrent for leaf-eating pests that ends up not leaving any kind of, you know, residues, you know, and there is a lot of science behind the idea that the whole use of pesticides is actually counterproductive. The more pesticides you use, the more you end up needing the pesticides. You know? And so, and why should we be paying outfits like Monsanto for chemicals that we don't need to produce our food? You know, and I mean, talk about one of the worst outfits in history, Monsanto. I mean, I could bash these guys for yonks. I can't, you know, genetically modified seeds, you know, and then suing farmers who have had some of their seed blow over onto their farmland and then wanting them to pay royalties because they're growing their seed or making sterilized seeds, you know, so that, you know, farmers who buy seed cannot harvest the seed that's produced from their produce to replant because, well, the seed that's produced in the second generation is sterile. And I'm sorry, that's a crime against nature. You know, and I do not think that this is a good idea at all. Because what happens when these strains take over? Because they are taking over. So, you know, if anything has become, you know, the key to what this today's show has been about, is that we can make a huge difference locally, but it has to be an all-encompassing effort. You know, you need to look at everything that you do and try and limit your impact in everything you do. And I think every decision has to have an environmental impact component to it. In fact, it should almost be the first component. I've been having to commute into Sydney City all this week because of this job that I'm on. And I just sit there and shudder to think, you know, I hate going into the city, first of all. I've just become a really anti-city person. I don't feel comfortable. I just feel like an alien. But, you know, even though I take mass transit in, you know, the train goes right by a couple of the main roads going into the city, and you just see things backed up for miles, and it's just insane. And you think about, is this really necessary for all these people to have to go, you know, travel all this way to do their jobs, affecting their own health, affecting everybody else's health, you know? And here, oh God, the transit system here is just falling apart in Sydney. 4,000 commuters got stuck on a train in the middle of the Harbour Bridge a couple nights ago, and it took them almost 3 hours to get these people out. Because, I don't know, the rail system here has just fallen apart. It's been neglected. I hate to say it, but the Labour government that's been running this state for the past 12 years is one of the most corrupt band of idiots I have ever come across in my life. And unfortunately, the opposition is no better, and Labour will end up getting back in on a few different issues. And also the fact that, you know, even though I do not like the Liberal Party at all, I think that this Labour Party in New South Wales is some of the most corrupt, just crap I've ever seen. And, you know, just simply the mass transit thing. You have people who would love to commute by train or bus to work every day, but they're finding that the system has been so neglected and there's not enough services that they're forced to drive. And, you know, I come and do this commute home, and I'm telling you, the people are packed in like sardine cans from all the way from the city up until about three stops before my place. And, I mean, to the point where it's, you know, I just sit there and think, you know, everyone's breathing on each other. I was sitting there, you know, there's no air conditioning. I'm in this car, and three stops from getting on, I'm reading a newspaper, and I'm just watching the perspiration, you know. And you know, if people are going to be forced to be, you know, dragged around like cattle, your mass transit system is failing them. You know, you shouldn't have to be treated like meat just to try and do the right thing. But anyway, yes, it's very much like Tokyo, Agnes. It is. And one day Australians will learn the concept that you have to let people off the train to make space for people to get on the train. And, you know, when I make comments of this and say, you know, folks, you know, did you ever learn about displacement? And I always get, shut up, you damn hippie! And I go, oh, that took brains to come up with that line now, didn't it? But anyway, folks, we gotta wrap things up for the day. Thank you so much for being with me. Thanks to Gene for the great phone call, and we are going to follow up on your green class. And thank you to Agnes for producing, Bob for announcing. Thank you to the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters for everything that they do for the horn. And I'm glad that I played a track that would have pleased Wayne today. Thanks to the mods, the bloggers, Peter Godbold, our IT professional, and Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions for all the music. As we say here on Foxed Up, folks, be good, be green. We'll see you on Monday.
I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment. Tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication.
This is the Quality News Network. The CIA operative who was at the heart of the leak scandal appeared before House Committee today. Valerie Plame said that the top White House and State Department officials blew her cover to discredit her diplomat husband. She accused them of doing that carelessly and recklessly. In Washington, the controversy over the fired eight U.S. attorneys continues as the White House is now backing away from earlier comments by White House spokesman Tony Snow that then White House counsel Harriet Myers first brought up the idea of firing them. Emails, which became public yesterday evening, reveal that White House political advisor Karl Rove played a role in the discussions. In addition to the five Army brigades that are on their way to Iraq as part of the troop surge, the top U.S. commander there, General David Petraeus, is requesting another Army brigade, specifically a combat aviation unit. This, along with another boost in support personnel, would increase the overall numbers in the troop surge from the original 21,500 up to 30,000 forces. Monday marks the fourth anniversary of the start of the Iraq War. President Bush met with the panel today, which will look into the problems at U.S. military health facilities. The bipartisan committee is headed by former Republican Senator Bob Dole and former Clinton Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalala. An FBI cautionary bulletin to police across the U.S. warns that foreign national members of extremist groups have signed up to be school bus drivers or have bought school buses. However, an FBI spokesman said there is no reason for concern and parents and children have nothing to fear. Iran's president has requested a visa so that he can visit the United Nations. The U.S. State Department has approved the request. Members of the Security Council are deciding on its sanctions against Iran for its failure to halt its nuclear program. In Gaza today, a U.N. convoy with the head of the U.N. Relief and Works Agency came under fire.